Hi, this is Susan Taney and Kathy Poblowski from Lost Dogs of America Radio Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about some of the key risk factors to help you profile your lost dog. We've broken this subject down into two parts. We generally categorize missing dogs into opportunistic or dogs that will be very shy or elusive. In the last episode, episode 3, we focused on the shy or elusive dogs. Today's episode will focus on the opportunistic lost dogs.
When your dog goes missing, it can be helpful to profile their characteristics to help you determine the best strategy to try to find them. We want to stress that we never say never. Even friendly lost dogs may quickly revert to being a shy dog when being lost. But the following characteristics that we're going to talk about today and those characteristics that we talked about in our previous episode will help you decide your best course of action and will help you develop a logical plan to safely recover your dog. So, Susan, what are the 5 risk factors that we talk about when we talk about the opportunistic lost dog? What are the things that would predispose a dog to being an opportunistic lost dog?
Well, first of all, it would be demeanor. What kind of personality does your dog have? Is it friendly? Is it a butt wiggly type of dog that when it comes up, your dog comes up to a stranger, it's just wiggly and the tail's going really fast? Will your dog regularly go up to a stranger? Is your dog everybody's new best friend? Is your dog highly motivated by treats, praise, and belly rubs? That's the kind of demeanor we're looking for as an optimistic dog.
My dogs are motivated by treats, but they're certainly shy and wary of strangers. So I don't think they would even approach a stranger for a treat. So I think that's telling me that they're not going to fall into this risk profile, that it would be very difficult for someone to pick them up or lure them into a car if they went missing. They're going to be much more like the profile we talked about in the last episode, where they're going to be shy or elusive. How about your dogs?
Well, unfortunately, the 3 dogs that I have right now would be the same way. But when my husband and I first started out with our first pack of dogs, all of them were extremely friendly and they were everybody's best friend. I mean, mm-hmm. they would just go up to anybody. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that's what we're kind of seeing right now is those we're adopting out more shy, elusive, and under-socialized dogs.
Yeah. So we have more and more that are falling into the other category, the shy and elusive category. Yeah.
Correct.
So how about number two? What's risk factor number 2?
Well, the origin. You know, do you know if your dog was well socialized in puppyhood? If so, they're going to probably be more opportunistic.
Yeah.
I like to say on this radio podcast that Kathy gave me the most difficult word to say. opportunistic.
Yes. We can just say friendly, maybe.
Yeah, I think we're going over to that side.
Yeah. And so suppose that my dogs were from a shelter, so I really don't know what their puppyhood was like, but I'm guessing from how shy they are, I just can't imagine that they were very well socialized when they were young. So, my last dog was from a breeder and was very well socialized, and he definitely would fit into this category because he was, again, like you said, like your previous dogs would go up to anybody. But these two now, both rescued from a shelter in the area, are very, very shy, and I don't know what their background is, what was like. So how about number 3? Are there certain breeds that tend to be more opportunistic?
Yes, there are some breeds that are more predisposed to being friendly. And they enjoy and will follow their nose. And those are hounds, such as beagles, basset hounds, dachshunds, and coonhounds. And unfortunately, that is my favorite breed, which are hounds. I have beagles and basset hounds and have had coonhounds. I've also had Labrador retrievers, which are sporting breeds. And golden retrievers and pointers and setters and spaniels are all into that sporting breeds. Then there's your working breeds such as Huskies, St. Bernards, Samoyeds, and Great Pyrenees. And then you also have your working terriers, which are Jack Russell Terriers, Cairn Terriers, and American Staffordshire Terriers. And then we come down to sight hounds, such as Greyhounds, Whippets, and Italian Greyhounds. And I also own Greyhounds, and they really love to explore their and they're sight hounds. You know, yeah. They would see something and just take off. And then we have your small, friendly lap dogs. So those are some of the dogs, some of the breeds that we feel that are pretty friendly with people.
And I always try to remind people, like, they always think they have a dachshund and it goes missing. And they think, that's good, you know, that they don't remember that it's still a hound. It's, you know, and it tends to behave like a hound when it goes missing. So it follows its nose somewhere, and sometimes it will follow its nose right back home again as well.
Exactly. And I was just thinking, too, you know, even with terriers and that, we've had terriers that have gotten stuck in pipes.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they're busy exploring, right?
And right.
They're not, you know, terriers can often get themselves into some sort of trouble because they're you know, kind of having a good time chasing something, a chipmunk or a mouse or something, and then get themselves stuck somewhere.
Right.
So what else? Number four, what's risk factor number four?
Well, dogs lost from a familiar location, especially on a really nice sunny day.
Yeah, spring, right? So this
exactly.
This is a really busy time for us right now because the weather is turning a bit better and the snow is melting and there's so many good smells to check out for the dogs. My dogs are out there, you know, sniffing in every little tuft of grass and every little pile of leaves, like, you know, exploring all the things that were, you know, making smells under there all winter long. Yeah. So again, like, that's kind of opposed to the shy dogs that may, you know, have gone missing from an unfamiliar location, which we talked about in the previous episode. So we just want to remind everybody, if they're interested in that other profile, to go back and listen again to episode 3, where we talked about the shy, elusive dogs. So what are some of those situations for those opportunistic or friendly dogs?
Well, sometimes there's a hole in or under the fence or a malfunctioning gate. That really seems to be a lot of issues. The invisible fencing stopped working, which meant the battery, you know, went dead. Mm-hmm. A contractor or a visitor left the gate open. We hear a lot of times that the meter man read the meter and left the gate open. Distracted owner leaves the dog alone outside for just a minute. Or the dog's chasing prey. Squirrels, rabbits, deer, cats, or even another dog. So those are just to name a few of the situations.
Yeah, and that's, I get that. Like, it wasn't that the dog was frightened by something. He just saw an opportunity to you know, go exploring because for whatever reason, there was just that seized on that opportunity and said, hey, I'm going to go look over here, or I'm going to go look over there, or I'm going to go chase this rabbit or whatever. And boy, how often is it that we hear that someone says, I just let the dog out to go potty, and the dog always comes right back, but not this time. This time the dog went missing. I mean, that just seems to be one of our most common scenarios when we're helping people.
Correct.
Yeah. So when it kind of boils down to it, what is that key factor to the opportunistic dog?
Well, that the dog was in a really happy frame of mind when he went missing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just so excited to get outside, and they're just happy, happy, happy. And anyone or a combination of the above will predispose a dog to be picked up by a good Samaritan or traveling a long distance.
Right. And so let's talk for a minute about what this all means. And I guess what it means is that the more of the risk factors that your dog has, and it falls into that opportunistic profile, means the more, like you just said, the more likely it will be that your dog will get picked up by a good Samaritan or end up in a shelter or be transported or travel on their own a long ways, because they're more likely to be, somebody driving by stops and says, "Oh, here, doggy, doggy, I'm sorry that you're lost. Jump in the car and I will take you to a shelter, or I will take you to the next town, or whatever." So the dog could be transported by a Good Samaritan, or they could travel on their own. And because these dogs are friendlier and they're not hiding all the time, like a shy dog spends so much of their time hiding, they can therefore cover a greater distance. Or they're out being seen, so they do have that opportunity to get picked up. And then the other thing that we find a problem is when it's a large opportunistic dog and it's lost in a rural area, a lot of people may just drive by and assume that it's a wandering farm dog and don't even report a sighting. So that dog gets a lot further away from home, because it's not being reported.
Well, and I that when you were talking about this, has brought up a story about a basset hound that, well, actually, it was more of a beagle who escaped. The fence was open, took off, and this is a senior basset hound, and it ended up a good 4 miles away from home in 3 hours.
Wow.
It just put its nose to the ground. It crossed two 4-lane highways. And
Wow.
it just kept going forward
Wow.
because it had its nose to the ground, and that's all he cared about.
Yep. As
So
opposed to, yeah, I agree. And as opposed to the shy dog that probably bolts at first from something that frightens it, but then hides, right? But then, but then decides it's gonna hide. Where
Exactly,
this guy was out
exactly.
having a good time and he was just gonna keep following his nose. You know,
Yep. Yeah,
and
we were
keep
kind of
going.
shocked when, he had an ID tag on and someone stopped him and they called us, and we just couldn't believe how far he had gone. And in that short amount of time, too.
Yeah, exactly. For short little legs, hey? So now you have to
Yeah.
tell everybody, you have to tell everybody what a bagel is, because I didn't know what that was at first.
Oh, that's a beagle and a basset
I
crossed. They're the cutest darn things
Yeah.
around.
Long ears and short legs.
Yep. Well, we hope that you found this information to be helpful. And again, when you understand the risk factors, you can develop a good plan of action to help you safely recover your dog. And again, we never say never. Any dog can become elusive quickly, and having a good game plan and using logical thinking will help you recover your lost dog.
So, regardless of your dog's risk factors, we recommend that you immediately file a report with our partner, Helping Lost Pets. This will create a free, we'll give you a free flyer and social media links so that you can start to spread the word about your missing dog. Your flyer will also be posted on our corresponding state's Facebook page. And then you can also print out and hand deliver your flyers door to door in the area where your dog was last seen, and to all the local vet clinics, shelters, and police departments. And that is what we have found to be the number one way that lost dogs get home, is by those hand delivering those flyers up to generate a sighting. So we recommend that you do not rely on services, whether they be free or paid, who say they will alert shelters and vets for you. Those emails may never be received or opened. Apparently the open rate on some of those emails is very, very low, and they may never be seen by the staff. So your dog may end up at a facility and be adopted out or put down without you ever being notified. So it's really important that you take two copies of your flyer to every vet clinic and shelter and police department in your area. Ask them to post one on the front bulletin board so the public can see it when they come in, and one in the back for the staff to see. This is Kathy Poplawski reminding you to never give up. Lost dogs have been recovered weeks, months, and even years after they went missing.
And this is Susan Taney, reminding you that not all stray dogs are homeless. Remember to always assume that a dog you find has an owner somewhere looking for them. We hope the tips that we provide will help you find your missing dog. You can visit our Facebook page, Lost Dogs of America, or our website, lostdogsofamerica.org, for more tips to help you find your missing dog.
Thanks for listening.